What is happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented musician who is also a member of the contemporary jazz group Acoustic Alchemy. The group returns to the scene with Roslyn, the first release in 4 years, and the new CD pushes the group musical boundaries, incorporating rock, reggae, folk, jazz influence as well. Please welcome jazz guitarist and composer Greg Carmichael. How's it going, Greg?
Good, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm sure it's nice in Minneapolis. It's actually getting dark here in England because we're 6 hours ahead, so already I'm into the evening.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're just now hitting mid-afternoon here, so yeah, time zone, man, it trips me out sometimes. I had a chance to check out the CD, and there's a few songs I just want to shoot your way. I mean, because these are the songs that really stuck with me about the whole CD. And the first track was Ivor Sound System. Man, that really stuck out with the talk box that used over the guitar licks, man. It really gave it that retro feel, and I was really digging that. Marcus was another track that stood out with me. And The Right Place and The Wrong Time. Those three tracks were probably my favorite on the whole CD. It was just a great CD overall, but those three tracks are really stick with me and are just kind of stick in my head, man. Just really great work.
Fantastic. That's very interesting you should say that, because those are not necessarily the three, you know, the tracks that some other people would perhaps pick up on automatically, because I think the record company's decided to release Marrakesh as the sort of the first radio single, and probably looking at One for Shorty for the next one. But those are good tracks. It's interesting that the reggae one, the Ivor Sound System, Acoustic Alchemy has, we've done quite a lot of reggae tracks over the past, usually on our releases, pretty much on every CD that we've released, there's been at least one kind of reggae-flavored track. And this is another one. I don't know if you know that Ivor is actually the original name for York.
Wow.
York City. So before it was called York in Old England, it was called Ivor. So, and because we've been recording up in my partner's, Miles, guitar partner, up in his studio, which is up in York, we call that. So that's what Ivor is, the old name for York.
Wow.
So it's even older. So you've got New York, you've got Old York, and then you've got Ivor, which goes back even further.
Now, when did the group start, man? When did you guys really form the group and really come together as Acoustic Alchemy? When did this take place?
A long time ago now. Acoustic Alchemy started in England in the early 80s. In fact, it started in about 1981 with two guys, one called Nick Webb and another guy called Simon James. And it was really Nick Webb's idea to try and have a group, have a band, that the front line was one Spanish nylon string guitar and one steel string guitar. He thought it was an interesting combination. And they tried in England to get a record deal, but in the early 80s, you know, all that England was interested in was pop music. And so the idea of an instrumental acoustic band, you know, getting a record deal was just, they just laughed them out. So one of the guy who played the nylon string Spanish guitar, Simon James, he got a bit fed up with this, got a bit despondent, and decided to quit and just go it alone as a classical guitarist. But Nick Webb, the steel string guitarist, wanted to keep this thing going. So he was looking around for another nylon string player, and he saw me playing in a band in London. And he came up to me after the gig and said, I've got this thing, it's called Acoustic Alchemy, I'm after a nylon string guitar player, and I like what you've been doing. So I said, well, that sounds very interesting. So who's in the band? And he said, well, it's just me. So that was the start.
Wow.
So I went along to his apartment, because he lived in central London. I live in London. and listened to some of the stuff that he'd been doing, and I liked it very much. So we started writing together, writing material, writing songs. But it didn't really take off until we saw a little kind of box ad in a newspaper, and in the back it said, "In-flight entertainment required for Virgin Airlines. Jugglers and fire eaters need not apply." Which was kind of a wild thing. And what it was that Richard Branson was just starting up Virgin Airlines, and he was looking for some entertainment on the plane that would come when when they'd finished dinner. And just before the film started, this is in the days when they just had one screen at the front of the aeroplane, and that's what people would watch, before the days of people having little screens on their own on their seats. And so what we had to do is we had to walk up and down the aisles with our acoustic guitars when the passengers had finished dinner, and then entertain them, 30,000 feet, turbulence and all. It was kind of a crazy thing. Yeah. But it got us to America. And that was really the key thing, because when we arrived in America, we brought with us some of the stuff we've been writing, our demo tapes. And our first stop was, we were just going to go around knocking on doors, see what would happen. Our first stop was in Nashville. And talk about timing, good timing and good luck. There was this thing called the MCA Master Series, and they were looking for one more kind of instrumental act. They had Larry Carlton, they had Edgar Meyer, they had Albert Lee, and they were looking for one more act, and they heard our stuff and really liked it. They weren't 100% sure. Anyway, we went back to England, and 6 weeks later got the phone call, we'd like to sign you, and that was just amazing. So that was in 1985, and that was the beginning of Acoustic Alchemy.
Wow. As a musician and a guitarist yourself, Greg, who were some of your musical influences that really paved the way for you, really want to make this a full-time gig for you, and just kind of really make that guy your musical mentor along the way?
Well, it was the Beatles, actually. That shows you how old I am. My dad took me to see the Beatles when I was 10 years old, and it blew me away. He got a good seat. We had a sort of front row seat in what we call in England, I don't know what you call it in America, it's called the circle. In other words, it's like the upper tier. So you've got the stalls in the downstairs, and then the upper tier. And we were right at the front, so I had a fantastic view. And it was the Beatles, it was the Searchers, it was all the groups in Liverpool, Cilla Black, Billy J. Graham. That's what was happening in England at the time, the Liverpool sound. And the Beatles were headlining. And I remember as a little boy, 10-year-old boy, sitting there, and you could hardly hear them because of the girls screaming like crazy. Right. And it was just amazing. And I got caught up in this. It was there, and I thought, this is what I want to do, And that was it. I love the Beatles. I grew up with the Beatles, and they really were, that really was the sound that got me playing the guitar.
No, the Beatles are great, man. I mean, till this day, that's just probably the most requested bands out there as far as CD sales, and just one of the legends that really paved the way for a lot of rock bands, and just to have that first stardom and the effects that they had on the audience, man. Yeah, I mean, they're timeless, even till this day.
Yeah, well, it certainly, influenced me. But of course, then as I grew older, I moved from kind of pop music to listening to a lot of jazz. I mean, I think that's what happens. I was a music student. I studied classical guitar, the nylon string guitar, in London, and so I studied guitar in London. But I was very interested in jazz. I started listening to you know, Herbie Hancock, Weather Report. I went to see Weather Report a number of times. I think that George Benson, and I think that really, that sort of thing started to interest me an awful lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, but I got to ask, Greg, you know, when composing your material, do you typically work with a team of writers and producers to start the material, or does it really vary from project to project in the albums?
No, it's always been the same. I mean, sadly, the guy I mentioned who started the Acoustic Alchemy, Nick Webb, he passed away in 1998. And that was, that was terrible. We've done 10, 11 CDs together, and we were on GRP. You know, it was all really, really happening. He got this terrible pancreatic cancer, and it killed him.
Wow.
That was a really hard thing, because we were, you know, buddies. I mean, we were like brothers, and we worked together. We did all the writing, and you know, he was my best friend. So when he died, it was difficult, because I thought I wasn't sure about carrying on. You know, I mean, because Acoustic Alchemy wasn't about just one person; it was about our partnership.
Right.
But it was the reaction I got from sort of the fans, American fans who'd seen us and you know, loved the music. And they really wanted Acoustic Alchemy to keep going. I mean, I was a bit scared, to be honest, because Nick was kind of, if you like, not so much the front man, but he was very relaxed with the audience. He had more of a, he was the one who would kind of chat to the audience. And I would kind of speak, but he trained as an actor, and it was kind of came naturally to me.
Yeah.
So I was kind of really a bit frightened about it, but. The guy who's with me now, Miles Gildervale, he was kind of in the band playing electric guitar, and I asked him if he would consider learning the steel string guitar, because it was completely different. You know, so the technique you need to play the steel string compared to playing electric, completely different. If he would try that so that he could play all the mixed parts. And he locked himself away in a couple of months and learn this, and now, you know, I've been with Miles as long as, as I had with Nick. Like I say, he died in 98, and Miles kind of took over Nick's place, and here we are, you know, still doing it. But what you were saying is quite interesting about you like the kind of voice boxing. That's Miles, because he's, you know, his roots are playing the electric guitar, and you can hear on this CD, there's lots of electric guitar. He's a brilliant electric guitarist. And also these, you know, fantastic steel guitar. So it means that there's a lot of different sounds we can use.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so much diverse backgrounds on the CD. You got your nylon string guitars, and you have your electric guitarist. I play the guitar as well, man, and there's this. It really takes a set of ears, a really good set of good ears, to attack both instruments the right way, you know what I mean? It just put the licks and the different dynamics and phrasings, you know, it does vary from both instruments. So yeah, I mean, you guys really hit it on the money on a lot of those on the track. So hats off.
Yeah, and Miles is, you know, we're great friends. You know, I mean, we get on so well, and we on this last CD, except for that one track which you like, which is The Right Place, Wrong Time. We've written everything together. On that one, the keyboard player, Fred White, also contributed. So Miles and I get really well. And also what I like about the CD is that most of the players on it are the live band that we have that you know, comes out of the road and tours. So I'm pretty proud of it, because this is the first CD we've ever done where we haven't had a recording contract. I mean, you know, I've kind of slightly taken it for granted that we would have a recording contract forever, you know, because we did 12 CDs with, you know, we did GRP, NCA, GRP, and then we lost our contract but got picked up by Higher Octave, Narada, Blue Note, and then went, you know, so we did a lot of CDs, and we had, you know, this recording contract that ran for forever, you know. And but after the last CD on Blue Note, you know, we thought we'd try one on our own. And so this is the first one that we've actually sort of funded and recorded in our own studio. And I'm very excited by it. So I'm really looking forward to coming out to America and touring it.
Definitely. You know, while on tour, Greg, I mean, has the crowd been receptive to the new material and the new tracks you guys are releasing?
Sorry, have they heard it, did you say?
Yeah, have you had a chance to display any of the new material off the CD on tour?
Yeah, yes. I mean, America is the place that we tour most of all, more than anywhere else in the world. It always has been, I mean, due historically, due to the fact that, you know, we came over and got our recording deal in America. And so most of our airplay and presence has been in America, despite the fact that, you know, we're British. But on the tour before, you know, the last tour, we've been playing some of the... we were playing some of the tracks saying, these are some tracks, and, you know, next time we come, we should have the new CD with us, and that's going to be the case. In fact, I think our first dates are actually in Minneapolis, aren't they?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we open, when we come out, shortly, yeah, so.
There you go, man. Minneapolis is a spot, yeah. Man. I mean, I love when the bands come here and perform, and we got a few spots. To go check out. We got the Dakota Jazz Club, and
yeah, that's the one we're playing. It's a great club.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's the spot, man.
I love that. We played there last year, and I think it must be quite new because you never played there before. We used to, long time ago. We used to play a place called the Fine Line.
Yep, Fine Line Cafe. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. We used to play that place.
Yeah, back in the
80s. We kind of played it. So in a theater and one in St. Paul, but yeah, last time we played that Dakota Club, and it's really nice. So that's where we're opening the tour.
You know, I feel that more bands are really hitting the road and touring a lot harder than I've seen in probably in the past 10 years. You know, promoting CDs and just promoting the whole brand together. Is this a good thing for Acoustic Alchemy, or does it kind of take away from you guys producing, you know, more CDs in a studio?
No, it's a great thing. I mean, it's all part of the whole thing. I mean, the CD is one thing, and playing live is something else. I mean, I really enjoy the studio work, but it's a completely different discipline to playing live, you know.
Yeah.
Some people, when they listen to the CD, if they're going to be critical, they'll say, you know, it doesn't sound like the live, but when you're recording, you know, you're, because it's in a controlled environment and you've got more control and you can try things again and do it again, which obviously you can't do when it's live, then you do. So I've seen them as two different beasts, the CD and going live, and we love playing. I love playing live. It's a great band. We've been, this particular lineup has been together for a number of years now, and we have a laugh, you know. We're all good friends. I mean, the bass player Gary Granger and the drummer Greg Granger, brothers. I never see them. I don't see them because they live in the US, so I only ever hook up with them when we come over.
Yeah.
But we're great friends. I've known them for a long time, especially the drummer Greg. And it's always nice to get together, you know.
Sure.
And like I said, we have fun. You know, it's like going out for a drink together or meeting up, you know, we're all friends, and that's nice.
No, it is. You know, Gray, with the industry, you know, with the change of the way we market and promote ourselves as musicians or as a band, what steps has Acoustic Alchemy taken and maintained as you guys' campaign for promoting your CDs and tours, or maybe being featured on other artists' CDs as well?
As you know, technology has changed, and pretty damn quickly as well. I mean, you know, I'm feel lucky that I've got people who are perhaps a bit more technically savvy than I am. You know?
Right.
I mean, I'm not old fashioned, and I'll go along with it and everything. But you know, I started when it was, you know, you recorded on tape. You know,
that's
right. But things have moved on a lot now. But it's only technology. It's only, you know, I think the essence is, you know, hopefully the spirit and the writing, you know, that the song, that's what's important. How you capture it is whatever latest technical thing is around at the moment. Miles is very, very good at that. I mean, he built a studio, which is where we recorded this CD. And so I would go up there, and he knows more than I do about how, you know, which button to push. But between us, you know, we get those. So, you know, things have changed a lot. I mean, there are good things. Well, you know, there's good things and bad things, I think, about the internet. Great thing is that it, you know, puts the word out there to a hell of, you know, an awful lot more people. But then you've got this whole thing of, you know, of the free downloading and people can get the music free, you know. But that's okay. I mean, that's the way things go. I think you can't, you know, as long as you can get out there and play live, that's the thing.
So, Gray, what is on the musical agenda for 2011 and going into 2012?
Lots of touring. We start with coming over in a couple of weeks. We've got quite a lot touring in America in October, and then we come back for a week to the UK, and then we come out again in November to do more touring of America. You know, it's a big country you got there, so it takes quite a time to get around it. and then we got some stuff in England. Around December time, we have a, which we've done for years, there's this kind of jazz club in London, in Soho, that we played for 2 weeks and into the new year. And then we've got Far East, and then more touring America. I mean, I guess we come to America about 4 times a year. Like I say, it's such a big country. You know, we kind of break it up into 4, you know, tours.
Yeah.
To cover everything. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's become more, over the years, it's become more difficult traveling. You know, as we all know, it's not so easy now. Taking right. instruments on board an aircraft is not so much fun these days. And your weight restriction and all the things that go with flying is a lot more difficult than it was in the early days. But, you know.
Oh, no, I remember, agree with you.
Remember, I used to fly with flight cases full of things. You know, now, of course, you just can't afford to do it because it's just outrageous.
Oh, yeah. The budget's definitely gone these days, man. Well, Greg, man, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I would love to have you back and just chop it up again from one musician to another, man.
Thank you very much. Great to speak to you.
Well, you have a safe 2011 and 2012, and the best of luck to you, man.
Yeah. Cheers, man.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
And a big shout out to Gray Carmichael for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Been a big fan of Acoustic Alchemy for a while. I love their music, man. It's just excellent musicianship going on. They're a heavy touring band. Been a big touring band for a while. And it just goes to show you, man, you take the time and you perfect your craft and work together as a band. This takes you a long way, man. And you develop that huge fan base and you get all those followers, man, to just follow you from year after year and project after project. For more information on Acoustic Alchemy, you need to check out their website at www.acoustic-alchemy.com. Acoustic-alchemy.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at www.spud2tight.com. www.spud2tight.com. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And it's off Acoustic Alchemy's new CD, Rosalind. And the title of the track is called The Ebor System. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.